Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
Your first mission is to keep yourself happy.
It's living for self that is so exhausting and frustrating because you were made to live for Him. So when you begin to please Him, you begin to thrive. It's not a burden. It's not a duty. It's a joy. I come alive. This is what I was made for.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Just in case you've forgotten. This is Wretched Radio. You're going to want to wish you'd forgotten Bethel Music. I thought they'd kind of gone underground at least a little bit, but no, still touring, still raking in the cash, still receiving royalties for their music, which is sung in far too many evangelical churches, still spewing out their horrific theology. And just in case you've forgotten how bad Bethel Music and its teaching is, and Bethel Church, which, by the way, kudos to them. They just finally decided after like 15 years to ditch promoting the Passion Translation. We've got a YouTube video coming out on that in case you've forgotten how bad the Passion Translation is. It just struck me. How could a church promote a Bible that is so far away from the original text for so long? It's finally taken internet pressure for them to go, okay, we'll stop promoting it. They should have known that out of the a 6-year-old who had been through some sort of a good Sunday school class would have read the Bible translation and said, Mommy, what is this? I don't know what this book doesn't sound at all like the Bible, nor does what Bethel teaches sound a lot like Christianity. I think I just saw a clip. Maybe it was Gabe Hughes. Maybe it was Justin Peters. They showed a clip of their pastor, Bill Johnson, uttering inanities, just making no sense whatsoever. It kind of reminded me of, no, it didn't kind of remind me. It actually struck me being very similar to William P. Young. If you didn't know, the Shack is returning. The Return to the Shack is going to be the book that's released in October. There was an interview done by Fox News with Mr. Shack, and I'll read this to you, and you're going to get a good earful of the incoherence of so many of these people who are so popular. I don't understand. Now, he's promoting his book, and they're saying, hey, you're probably going to take a bit of a beating again. And he said this: there is no fear in love. That's a scripture out of the New Testament. So any degree of fear, that's in your sense of the transcendent, in your sense of the higher power, your sense of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Any fear indicates that your theology, your religion is seriously flawed. And because people are afraid, they're going to react out of that fear. What did you just say? I don't know. My identity is outside of that. And so, you know, sometimes I think if people are bothered by something, it means something is in them that needs to be addressed, and it becomes an invitation. And I'm excited for that to happen inside of people's lives. If I can walk on the holy ground of their story a little bit, I'm honored. If I can walk on the holy ground of their story a little bit, I'm honored. And people sit enraptured listening to these guys. The clip of Bill Johnson. There's an art to prosperity preachers, and one of their tricks is the dramatic pause. Say something that sounds whoa, and then you just leave it hang there, and then you repeat it again as if somehow somebody just came down from the mountain with a new revelation. Bill Johnson is one of those guys. And Kim Walker Smith of Bethel Music, she maybe does the pausing business too. But as you're about to hear in this newly released interview, this movement, which is so popular, I think it is safe to say, when we did Drunk in the Spirit, which you can watch, by the way, for free at fortisplus.org, when we did an expose on this maybe a decade ago now at this point, this was the fastest growing sect of Christianity in the world, and it continues to grow. And I think we need to remember just how bad Bethel Music and Bethel Church is, because every time we sing one of their songs, we're contributing to their coffers.
I get up to the front and I just start crying, just so broken and so hungry and just kind of in a really weak place. And immediately I went into this vision.
Hold the phone, Henrietta. You went into this vision.
And I have to say that this isn't something that happens all the time. Like, sure. This was really like an amazing moment for me.
That is so not true. I've listened to this woman tell stories before. They're having visions all the time.
It wasn't like I was just having these constantly or something, you know?
Sure.
And I see Jesus standing in front of me.
Hold the phone, Henrietta. That statement undermines the sufficiency of Scripture. This woman was so broken, so needy, that Jesus, rather than using his word to comfort her, appeared to her in a vision.
And he's reaching out his hands like he wants me to come to him. Wow. And I feel ashamed. And
did you hear the guy? Wow. People love this stuff. It's because I think they're not satisfied with what we have in the Bible. That should be enough.
I feel afraid and I feel unworthy. I feel like I don't deserve to be close to him or deserve to be even looking at him or touching him. And Jesus is completely irresistible.
Yeah.
And I couldn't stop myself. And I
this is going to get romantic.
I made it over there and I fall in his arms and he's holding me. And even as he's holding me like this, I'm kind of looking away from him. Like I don't even have the courage to like look in his face and look in his eyes. And I have this thought in my head. I think I need to ask him two questions. And the questions were, how much do you love me? And what were you thinking when you created me?
You come face to face with the Savior, and all you can think about is yourself. How much do you love me? And what were you thinking when you created me? How much do we have any information, any place that indicates how much Jesus loves sinners? Jimmy, do you... Have you seen anything on the internet, any place that indicates God's love for us?
Some places, yeah.
Like maybe the Bible?
That's the main place.
This is a good rule of thumb with these extra revelations. If it's a new revelation that's not in the Bible, then it's a fake revelation. And if it's something that's in the Bible, then we don't need the revelation. She didn't need this. I'm sure she's read the Bible verse. In this is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and gave his son as the propitiation for our sins. That's his demonstration of love. He died on a cross for you. Why would you need another affirmation? You don't. We've got everything we need in the Bible.
Wow.
And I knew that those questions were not me. That it was totally Holy Spirit. Like I wouldn't have... ask those questions.
Except everything revolves around me.
I had felt so much shame in my life. I had grown up believing that I was a mistake, that God meant to make a boy, and I came out a girl. That
okay, this is getting weird.
My family wanted a boy, and were disappointed that I was a girl. Or I just had these lies that came in as a child that kind of stuck with me, just believing that I was a mistake and that how much could you love a mistake? And he doesn't really love me very much. And he's...
This is nonsense. This is nonsense. Has she never heard, for God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son? Has she never... looked at the cross to consider God's great love expressed there? This is so unnecessary.
Just trying to make the best of a bad situation. Like, these are the kinds of things I believed about the way that God saw me and the way that he viewed me. And all of a sudden, out loud, in the natural, outside of my vision, Anthony Skinner's up on the stage and he says, you need to ask God two questions. You need to ask him, how much do you love me? And what were you thinking when you created me?
Wow. Can you, you know what that means, don't you? She's telling yarns. This is Bethel. is what this is. This is Bethel Music. And so if it has been a bit since you've been reminded of what this organization is all about, you've, Pastor, you run your church as you see fit. But when you're singing Bethel Music, this is what you're supporting. You're funding this. And you're encouraging people to go participate in this. And you are ultimately putting money into their coffers so that they can continue to propagate this utter nonsense, which I think ultimately breaks people's hearts. Now, if I'm listening to this, I'm going to have one of two responses. Why don't I get to have those sorts of visions? Or I'm going to gin one up. Well, if she can have one, I can too. And then I can let my brain synapse all over the place and I can have my own divine revelation. Ultimately, these people break hearts. Why? Because people are perpetually going to these concerts, listening to these types of interviews, listening to their, can't even call it preaching, let's just call it their talking, because the Bible isn't sufficient. They want more, a better experience. They got to get pumped up. They got to get whoop-de-dooed up. And then they sort of do, but then what happens? They crash. Oh my, Bethel Music is like a sugar high. And then you immediately crash and you're left longing for more. So what do you have to do? Wash, rinse, repeat. And that is why we need to be reminded of what Bethel Music is all about. This is Wretched Radio.
There's a lot of Christian content out there that sounds deep, but it actually isn't. It's inspirational. It's nice, but it doesn't actually help you when life gets hard. Fortis Forums are completely different. We're talking about how to comfort someone who's grieving and what Scripture actually says, not just what sounds nice. We're talking about marriage when things aren't easy and mental health and whether the Bible has real answers. Biblical manhood for a generation that's never been really given a model to follow. These are in-depth conversations with people like Dr. Jason Lyle, Libby Glosson, Dr. Adam Tyson, and Dr. John Krotz, teachers who take the Bible seriously and don't shy away from the hard topics. These Fortis Forums are all on Fortis Plus for you to watch right now for free. And they're ready when you are. Just download the app wherever you download apps on your smartphone, your smart TV, or just simply go to fortisplus.org and see what biblical depth actually looks like.
Is it possible a Christian university can actually be ranked high when it comes to preparing students for the real world? Hat tip to Masters University. You want to send your kids someplace where they actually still teach the Bible? Not just based on a document that they maybe have in a file cabinet someplace, but they actually use the Bible there. The education at the Masters University, not only biblical, but oh so practical. Courses, diplomas, degrees, they can be achieved online or, of course, on their beautiful campus in Southern California. Would you like to learn more about the Masters University to prepare you or your child for the future? I encourage you to visit masters.edu/wretched, masters.edu/wretched.
As a Christian, at some point, you're going to be in a conversation about abortion. Maybe it's at work, maybe it's at Thanksgiving dinner, or maybe even with your own kids. And when that moment comes, you're either going to be ready for the conversation or you're not. Life is Best gets you ready. It's hosted by Scott Klusendorf, one of, if not the sharpest pro-life apologist in the world. This 13-episode series walks through every major argument you'll hear and shows you how to respond with clarity and compassion. You'll also hear from voices like Paul Washer and Dr. John MacArthur bringing the weight of Scripture to an issue the world wants to keep shallow. You won't find angry debate tactics or gotcha moments. No, this is thoughtful teaching that engages the mind and the heart, because the goal isn't to win an argument. It's to change minds and point people to Christ. Life is Best. All 13 episodes streaming now on Fortis Plus for free. Download the app on your smartphone, on your smart TV, or just simply go to fortisplus.org.
Important dates in Christian history. 988 AD. After examining several religions, Vladimir, Prince of Kiev, chooses Orthodox Christianity to unify and guide the Russian people. Even after a century of atheistic communist rule, Orthodoxy remains at the core of life in Eastern Europe to this day.
This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
I promise I'll make this really quick. Hopefully. This is Wretched Radio. Hey, Jimmy, that was some pretty, that preaching there from Kim Walker Smith of the Bethel Music Corporation. Do you know of any decent preaching? I don't want to say good because that would be horn tooting. Any decent preaching that people could perhaps listen to that's a brand new podcast from Fortis Institute available at fortisplus.org or anywhere you do your podcasting business?
I'm so glad you asked, Todd. Absolutely. It's called Exalt the King.
Sounds fascinating.
With Todd Friel.
Uh-huh.
It's the preaching ministry of Alpharetta Bible Church.
You can check it out wherever you do your podcasting stuff. Let's move on, shall we? I promise I'll make this quick because I think this could be a hobby horse of mine. And the reason that it is because I see it so often. I feel the heartache of good Christian parents so regularly regarding this issue. And Fox News actually now is spending a little bit of time examining what is going on, why so many families are fractured. The divorce rate in America is really high, higher than it's ever been. And you say, well, I don't think so. People are kind of getting divorced at the same rate. I'm not talking about get an attorney for a pain-free divorce. I love those commercials. There's one in Atlanta. Divorce isn't fun, but we'll make it really quick for you. Of course, well, then they sell you a non-contested divorce, which always goes quickly if the two parties are willing to participate. Nevertheless, they're promoting. Want to be happy? That was another law commercial. Do you remember seeing that one? Sarah used to be so sad, and it showed a picture of Sarah being sad. Now Sarah's so happy. She's out with her friends laughing, having a glass of Chablis. Is Chablis still a wine? I don't know. She's having a glass of Sauvignon Blanc there. She's throwing her head back and laughing as she throws her hair into the air. Oh, life is so good now that she's divorced. Are you kidding me? Yes. They are promoting divorce and making life look wonderful once you finally sign those papers. I'm not talking about that divorce rate. I'm talking about kids divorcing their parents. YouGov. 38% of U.S. adults are estranged from at least one family member, including siblings, parents, children, or grandparents. 38%. This is why it's one of my hobby horses. It's so prevalent. This isn't a little trend. Why isn't Tucker Carlson talking about this? Oh, I know why. He's busy putting his arm around Joe Biden's son, Hunter. What in the world? Did you see that?
I did not.
Tucker Carlson interviewed Hunter Biden, and you would have thought they were besties from way back. It was bizarre, is what it was. Tucker Carlson, I think I have him kind of figured out. And this is going to sound a little bit like, what? But I think it can happen. So just bear with me as I make this statement, then I'll explain it. I think his discovery of Christianity has kind of goofed up his thinking. Yeah, I know. Whoa. But Christianity is supposed to bring clarity. Well, it does about Jesus Christ. Let's hope that Tucker is saved. But I think that it's an intense focus for him. He does not allow good theologians into his life. He is not a member of a local church. He doesn't sit underneath anybody's authority, so he's trying to figure it out for himself. He's insistent on that. And so he's getting teaching from whoever he chooses that kind of tickles his ears, that he kind of enjoys. And it seems that Tucker's touch point with the world now is it a part of his newfound morality? Do you recall when he was talking about Qatar, or Qatar, as we used to say, that it's a great place, wonderful place, because hey, I go out in the streets and I'm safe. Well, so why does he then say that entire nation is wonderful and that whole system is to be admired? It's because he doesn't like the lack of safety in America, the violence that's happening on our streets. He sees there's no violence in Qatar and goes, therefore, it's a good country. because he thinks that their morality regarding street violence is better. And I think, and I've seen enough of those instances that I think that that's what his issue is. So why would he put his arm around, literally put his arm around Hunter Biden and have a conversation about, hey, we went to school, same school, we knew the same people, run in some of the same circles. Why was he palling with Hunter Biden? It's because Hunter Biden, he hobnobbed with the same type of people, what they call the Epstein class. They identify how horrible that behavior is. Therefore, we now have a relationship. Hunter, you hate that stuff. I hate that stuff. We're good to go. Because they've got a touch point of morality. I think Tucker's Christianity is what's causing his newfound worldview and set of priorities. And that's why Tucker needs to be in a local church. He absolutely positively needs to be inside of the context of a local church. He needs somebody to disciple him, and he won't do that because he doesn't want to be indoctrinated. And to a degree, I get that. He wants to be his own man. He wants to think this thing through, but there's enough weight to the other side of the scale of this argument about whether or not you should let other people teach you. And that is, you've got 2,000 years of really smart people talking about the Bible. And if you're not willing to receive anything that they teach about the Bible, ooh, that's pretty arrogant is what that is. I can't be taught by anybody. He's under the impression that everybody that's a good teacher or a high profile teacher or even a denomination, they're just kind of in it for power or for fame or for money. And therefore, I'm not going to listen to them. That's, first of all, to, I think, impute a lot of ill intent to an awful lot of people. But it's also to neglect the fact that a lot of good people have studied the Bible for a lot longer than he has. So if nothing else, maybe a lesson some of us could learn. Are you in the context of a local church sitting underneath somebody's authority? Are you willing to be taught? Are you willing to learn from them and to submit to them? If not, well, I don't want to threaten or anything, but pretty soon you're going to be a Tucker Carlson. Fox News talking about the issue of divorce in America, people breaking up, and they list 5 reasons more Americans are cutting off their own parents. Now, this is according to a psychologist. Some of these are going to be familiar. Some of these might be, but I think they're worth noting. Why? We can't keep our kids from getting indoctrinated from the world. You can't, unless you just cut yourself off from all social media, all TV, all news, all music. You go live in Montana where in an area where there's just nothing. Okay, but as soon as they leave home, and they will leave home, they're going to find it. And they are going to start becoming indoctrinated with the Oprah Winfrey worldview that you've got to divorce people if they bug you. And so we need to be aware of these things to interact with these things. We can't make them go away. We can't dismiss them. We've got to know. So here's one of the reasons that more Americans are divorcing their parents: political and value differences. Well, we can't change our values, certainly. But it does, I think, cause us to say, how do we talk about politics around the house? How do we talk about politics with the kids? Because we can be right in our convictions, but if they hear something that is so sounds unloving, they don't understand why we have that position, they're going to hear these liberals and they're going to go, they're just so much nicer. And they're going to jump on the we hate Republicans and Donald Trump and all of the evangelicals who support it. Be mindful of how you talk about politics around your kids. They're listening. Social media influence, that's no shock. Kids spending all that time being indoctrinated. I cut off my parents' TikTok videos. There are proliferated. There are just so many of them these days, and the kids are consuming that. Therapy culture, I think we heard that a week or two ago. Therapists that are encouraging divorce with your parents. Communication breakdowns. That that we just aren't listening well to the kids. At least they don't perceive that. We just constantly tell them what to do. We maybe don't explain things. We don't ask them how they're thinking about things. So what do? They would just want to get away from you because they thought you were overbearing. And number five would be outside influences. In other words, a friend, a spouse, you know, your parents, they just really, I just don't think we should be going over there for the holidays anymore. Those are contributing to the divorce rate. Conflicting parenting philosophies, straining relationships, because parents, they do it one way. The kid thinks it should be done another way. All of these are issues. All that to say, mom and dad, we can't cut our kids off from the world. But maybe, just maybe, this is instructive for us to be more mindful of how we are parenting our kids so that one day they don't divorce us. This is Wretched Radio.